Meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you very much, Rafiq. Welcome everyone to the NCSG policy call on Thursday, 18th of February 2019. I'll hand over to Rafiq to start the meeting. Thank you.
Hi, and thanks to everyone for joining today NCSG policy call, which usually happens prior to GENESO Council meeting. So the day and the time are different than our usual slot, because there will be two EPDP team calls on Tuesday and Wednesday, and expected to be 3 hours each, so there was no way we add more in the same day. And I know that we had also our EPDP update call in last Friday, so we try to have these two calls just to cover as much as possible. So we will try to focus today on the council agenda, and also if time permits, to have some updates, policy updates from other working group and activities. So let's start first with the GENESO Council agenda. Mariam, can you share the agenda, please? Okay, thanks. So we don't have anything for the consent agenda. And as kind of maybe a short summary, the agenda is, there is not so many items, but I think at least two of them are quite important. And one of them includes a crucial vote that we need really to prepare for it and to have everyone on board how we will proceed and to be ready in how kind of a procedural matter then that can rise during the council meeting. So the first main agenda item, it's the council vote, item number 4, for the adoption of the final report on expedite PDP on the temporary specification for GDLD registration data. So the EPDP team had, is finalizing its report. What was submitted to the council, its version of the final report. We did that in terms of having kind of placeholder, because there is a deadline for document and submission prior to the council meeting, and that's usually 10 days. So in this kind of really exceptional case, the EPDP is finalizing the report in terms of the designation of the consensus level, and also to get the input from all groups regarding their position, and adding the statement, their minority. I don't think it's correct to call them minority statement, but that's a statement to the report where they are expressing their position regarding the whole report or particular recommendation. And the NCSG did the same. Our representative to the EPDP team submitted on Friday the statement to that report. So the matter here, this will be the first time for the council, the first opportunity and the first time for the council to vote on the final report and the recommendation there coming from the EPDP team. So in terms of procedure, what can rise here, and that everyone should be ready for it? It's it's that having the report with the recommendation, the council need to decide either to vote as a whole, the whole package, or in a kind of particular case, to vote recommendation by recommendation. So what can happen here? If we have I mean, the report with all recommendations having full consensus on consensus, we can vote the whole package without a problem. And we need the supermajority, which means the two-thirds in each house, or the three-fourths in one house, and the simple majority in the other house. However, if we have in the report some recommendation that they don't have a full consensus or consensus, the General Council, before moving to the to the voting, need to decide how to deal with those recommendations because they don't have at least a consensus. So this can be, we can open the discussion. But based on the previous council call, the extraordinary meeting last week, one idea is that we have a way to vote as a whole package. So we may have still this procedural discussion that might rise during, and we need to be ready how to deal with this. So we need to understand how to deal. Other thing that can happen, and which is possible, is that maybe some group, they can ask for deferral. And that's where we have this holder meeting in the 4th of March. That it was communicated before, and it's this date is coming from a letter from Yuran when he was asked, and the board was asked about what is the timeline for the board in terms of the adoption of the final report that coming that was approved by the latest date that doesn't really impact the timeline is the 4th of March. That's why we selected the date and it was coming beforehand. So we may, even if we have a discussion at the council level, some groups may still ask for referral for different reasons. It can be tactical or just they need more time for discussion and deliberation. So what we need here is as a group we need to be ready for the different option and how we need to vote in those cases, understanding what is needed in terms of threshold. I send
Hi, Rafik, we lost you. Can anybody hear me?
I think Rafik is
kind of summary. Oh. Then I'm happy to hear any question or. Okay.
Rafik, if you can hear me, we've lost you.
Can you hear me now? Okay. Sorry, I don't know, but I'm not sure where you when you stopped to hear me. So what I was saying after the deferral, which is a real option, procedural option, still the chair can reject that that request, but have in the worst case the 4th of March as another meeting. It's not optimal, but still have. That one. I sent into NCAG policy committee list a summary of how the voting and reference to the operating procedure and the bylaws, so I am happy to send that also to the NCAG list for information. I think I went for now for a long time for index to hear any comment or question. Yes, Stephanie, please go ahead.
Thanks. Can you hear me? Just checking my sound here. Yes? Okay, good. Stephanie Perrin for the record. I just wanted to raise the additional issue that the business community has said that they can't support a bunch of recommendations. I'm a little concerned about this. I'm also very concerned about voting recommendation by recommendation because I think, particularly now that the business community has seeded the ground with their little package of recommendations they don't like, then everybody else, I mean, we have a pack that we don't like either, some of which I'm just, you know, biding my time and waiting until it's proven in court that we were correct. So I really think we should vote it through as a package or try, and I think that we should firmly push back on the business community attempting to do this. I mean, there is a risk that the whole process will fall apart and we won't actually get this thing voted through, and that would be not just a tremendous waste of all our time, but also a further evidence that the multi-stakeholder process itself is in jeopardy, and I don't think we want that. Thanks.
Thanks, Stephanie. Yes, I mean the best is to vote the whole package, to not go item by item. But the thing is that the council need to decide for those recommend parts that don't have full consensus or consensus. I think that one of the comments made by Amar here, and so we need to decide, and that will be during the council meeting for sure, since even now at the level of EPDP team we don't have the final consensus call designation. The final one. So what just to try to present is that what can be coming as option, and so we need to be ready for that. So I understand that our position should be that we need to vote as a whole. That's what we should do, and we should advocate during the council meeting. Okay. Any other comment or question? Yes, Stephanie?
Yes, Stephanie Perrin again. It appears that ALAC will support the business community. Now, the good thing is ALAC doesn't have a vote on the GNSO Council. Does anybody see any hidden repercussions of ALAC support that I don't see? Thanks.
Thanks, Stephanie. I think the possible impact would be at the EPDP team level in terms of the consensus designation. So it's really up to Kurt here and to assess the level of consensus. So if you have like two groups like IPC and PC and join it by the ALAC, he made some assessment on that regarding the consensus level. But having ALAC or not doesn't impact the council vote per se. Okay, don't see anybody in the queue. If you are speaking, we cannot hear you. So.
Oh, sorry, this is Omar. I didn't hear you call my name. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Please go ahead.
All right, great, thanks. Hello, everyone. I think there was a discussion on submitting a comment attached to our councillor's vote on the motion to adopt the EPDP team's final report and recommendation. Before I continue with this, could someone please give me a recap of where we stand with that right now? I'm not as up to date on this discussion as I'd like to be, but I think we do need to possibly do something about this, but I'd like to understand what the current status quo is. So if somebody could give me an update on that, I'd appreciate it.
Thanks, Omar. I think one quick answer for me, but seems Farzana jumped into the queue probably to elaborate more, is that the only statement we sent was the one to be added to the report. And we had discussion on today to have a separate statement that's the one to be read during the council meeting. So let's go to the queue with Aiden and Farzan, and maybe if you want to go back to you, if you want to add more comment or question.
If you want to follow the thread, if Bazane wanted to respond to Amma, please do, because I had a viewpoint that I was going to raise.
Okay.
Yes, thank you. Okay. So just to clarify, because there were a lot of confusion on Friday about this. So we filed the comments of NCSG on the final word of EPDP on Friday. I believe Milton has sent that off. That has nothing to do with the NCSG council members' statement. Now, there is another document that I did because, you know, I have a lot of time to spend on this. Another document that is kind of like a statement that I advise the council members to, first of all, vote on a package as a whole. And if they succeed in voting on the whole report instead of recommendation by recommendation, then if it's possible procedurally, we vote yes, but also read this statement so that it is recorded that we voted yes for the respect for the process, because we think that this is a consensus policy recommendation, but still, we need to reinforce our opinion where we actually, which recommendations we don't like. It is a very short statement. It is not long. It has a couple of references. But I don't know if that is procedurally possible to vote yes, for our council members vote yes and read this statement. If it's possible, then good. If not, then we can just, like, I don't know, add it to our page or something. Just, this is just for the record, because we do vote from time to time out of the spirit of, like, you know, being like multi-stakeholder and cooperative, but without explaining why we voted yes, and then I believe that we need a historical archive for our and explain our reasons. One more, I have a question. No, I don't have a link handy. I will find, I will dig that out in a minute. So I have a question. Sorry, if you can respond after Aidan's intervention. I wanted to know if some of these recommendations do not have consensus, Rafiq, is it possible for the board to decide whether they want to adopt it without it, or is that a dangerous precedent, or is that not procedurally possible? I don't know why this is in my mind. I think I read it somewhere that might be possible, but if you could let me know, that would be great.
Hey, thanks, Farzana. So I think the board only, I'd say that the thing is, any example we had before, they are about PDP, and so the threshold is different from ePDP. And what the board can decide, depending of the threshold, like for PDP is majority or supermajority, it can decide on those cases, but if something it's not adopted anyway, so the board cannot make any decision. So it doesn't go to the board. So if, let's say we adopt, I'm taking scenario, I'm not sure here, if we adopt something, that's the only thing or matter that the board will decide. They cannot bring back something that it was dropped or rejected. So I hope that answers your question. There is a text, I think, from, I'm not sure if it's in the bylaws. I put it in the email, so I can share it in, when I find it, I can share it in the Adobe Connect chat, but I think that may respond more to your question. Okay, so, let's go to Aidan and then Amar.
I am really reassured by the response that you just offered to Bosni's question, because that was something that I was curious about, and I still have this terrible feeling in the back of my throat that something is going to happen to us over the next week or two, that we are, everything is somehow going to fall apart and we are going to be screwed, because that has happened before. But I wanted to rewind a little bit to what we were talking about before, which was what sway ALAC might have at the moment. And there was something quite interesting. So I was just before our call today, I was listening to the recording of an ALAC meeting that was held on the 13th of February, I believe, last Thursday, where they were talking about what their strategy was and how they think the ePDP has progressed. And what I thought was particularly interesting, and I think it could be interesting to pull this transcript out and to make sure that the board is aware of it if something does happen and for some reason the cons of the ALAC are given disproportionate influence, was that actually I don't think the members of the ALAC support the comment that has been submitted by their representatives to the ePDP. Indeed, Cheryl Langdonor said in the Adobe room that she thought the language was too strong and that she did not support the submission. And I think there was only one single member, aside from Alan Greenberg and Hardia, who were both the ALAC's primary representatives on the ePDP, who's the submission of the comment. So I found that particularly curious. and that many of the concerns that were actually raised on their call, not all, but many of them align quite well with the positions that we have been advocating for. So I'm not saying that we need to take any action at this point in time, but I did find it interesting, and I do think that this is something that might be worth highlighting in the future, that there is questions that have been raised by ALAC's own membership about whether that statement actually reflects the position of their members. There are also a number of factual inaccuracies that were raised by Alan and Hadia on the call. For instance, that they could only accept, they claimed they could only accept comments during that call. It was not permitted, apparently, this was the direction that we were given, for them to accept comments outside of that 2-hour Adobe conversation that they were having. They were not welcoming feedback via email or through other means. And that is bizarre, and that is suddenly not something, a direction that I recall us receiving. So I guess where I'm going at is, I feel pretty reassured now. I don't think we need to worry too much about at large, because I think we've got some interesting records that we can rely upon and draw to the board's attention if we do need that.
Thanks, Aiden. I'm not sure we lost the audio, so I assume that you finished it. If not, okay, yeah. That was my thing, but just double checking. Okay, so Amr, please go ahead.
Well, thanks, Rafiq and Farzan and Aiden. Thanks for the input, and thanks for the link to the comments. Yeah, speaking for myself, I believe there is a constructive comment we could submit, or our counselors could submit, and procedurally, there is nothing to prevent a comment being attached to a yes vote or an affirmative vote on the council. So you don't have to abstain in order to submit a comment. If a council member does abstain from a vote, from a motion vote, then they are requested to submit a comment. They are not required to. But, you know, whether a councilor votes yes, no, or abstains, then it is perfectly within any councilor's right to attach a comment to the vote, and it's supposed to be captured in the minutes of the meeting. So we can do that, but if we do submit a comment, I would advise the counselor that is planning on submitting it to flag that before the vote begins, the rest of the council is aware that one needs to be provided. And then I think you'll be asked to follow up with the GNSO secretariat to make sure that they capture the comment correctly. My proposal for a comment is on process, is on procedure, because to me the GNSO council's job is managing the policy development process, whether it's expedited or not. I would not recommend that we encourage the GNSO council to get involved in the substantive recommendations. That's not their job. We don't want to encourage this, whether now or in the future, for the council to get involved in the actual substantive policy developments or the recommendations being made, and to discuss those. That is something we shouldn't do. But the problem I believe we do need to flag to the GNSO council is that, you know, I think there was some serious procedural problems with this whole EPDP. And to be honest, I think we as the NCSG representatives to the EPDP could have done a better job in preparing our counselors since last August on this. This is something we could have flagged earlier and we didn't. But people think about ePDPs, expedited policy development processes, as just a shorter, faster process than a regular PDP. And it's something that can be used, you know, when there's a deadline that needs to be met, and you know, and then we don't have the time to go through an issue scoping phase and that sort of thing. But one of the important aspects of an ePDP, and this is something that you know, it's basically a condition for launching an ePDP, is that it has to be about a narrowly scoped issue that has been properly scoped already. And so in this case, in the case of the ePDP, the scoping of the policy development process was the temporary specification. Anything outside of this should not be introduced into the ePDP. If it's not in the temp spec, if it's not in the charter, it should not be discussed. It should not be discussed, not because normally in a regular PDP, there would be an issue scoping phase, which means that staff would prepare a preliminary issues report, which would also include a draft charter. And this would be subject to a public comment period where, you know, we, for example, would have the opportunity to say, no, wait a minute, there are other issues that, you know, that staff haven't considered when scoping this, and they need to be addressed, and they need to be put into the charter, and so on and so forth. So the difference with the EPDP, the expedited policy development process, is that this issue scoping has already taken place. Now, I bring this up because we've wasted an insane amount of time on this EPDP on issues and topics that are not within scope of the EPDP at all. And a lot of these issues have resulted in recommendations in the final report. So I think this is something we should flag to the GNSO Council. I think we should make a list of these recommendations. It's probably not terribly long, but there are recommendations in there that I believe are beyond the scope of the EPDP and shouldn't be in there at all. So I think it would be a good idea for us, albeit late, but still, it would be a good idea for one of our counselors to read a statement following or before the vote on the motion takes place, to point out that the GNSO Council, as the manager of the policy development process, needs to be aware that the EPDP team has gone beyond its narrow mandate and is submitting a number of recommendations that are out of scope of the EPDP. And it would be a good idea for us to also reference, you know, what the guidelines or the PDP manual says about expedited policy development processes and, you know, the need for a narrow scope when using this sort of process. So I won't be able to work on this tonight, but I hope that tomorrow I can provide a draft if the rest of our members think it's a good idea, or maybe I'll just provide it and then others can weigh in. The draft comment that I see right now in front of me has a lot of details on actual substance in the recommendations. Again, I don't think it's a terribly good idea to encourage the GNSO Council to get involved in those, but I think the Council should be aware of where its role as a manager of the PDP is in question because the EPDP didn't really stick to its narrow mandate. Thanks, and apologies for, you know, taking us both through this. Thanks.
Thanks. I think points taken. It should be really about the process, and if we find some issue and concern, that should be raised, and that's, I think, what the council is for. I think maybe the team could raise those maybe issues the beginning, but I think still important to make the point. I see some discussion that would be connected, kind of maybe a little bit making things complicated. If you want to make a statement, just read it. So don't wait for the vote on itself. I think that's not the point, really, just to read. During the vote, just say that you are going to make a statement and you want it to be recorded, and that's it. So don't worry about the order or whatever. Okay, Amr, is it an old or new hand?
Sorry, that's an old hand.
Okay. So is there any other further comment or question here? Okay, I don't see any. So I think we have a fair idea about what should come for the next council meeting for this voting. It will take some time in terms of procedural discussion. So I really ask everyone to kind of, I mean, the councillor to kind of to pay attention here, and that we will coordinate in on time, on real time for this. So I hope that everyone understand in terms of the kind of different option, understanding about the vote threshold and so on. Okay. So I guess we can move to the next agenda item. It's not that different, but it's related to the EPDP, and this is more a council discussion, and this is about the phase two work. So here it was added, even in the motion itself, talk about the phase two and asking the EPDP team to work on, to spend time to deliver a work plan for phase two. Since there are several items that were deferred, they should be deferred to phase two, and we still have what is in the charter for phase two to be covered. But some people within the council think it's an opportunity here, maybe to, if needed, to review the charter, maybe to amend it. But it's not clear what can be the scope of those amendments. So I think we may get a sense that during the call, it's possible that some people would raise a point about the composition, and it's we need to keep the composition as it is. I know that some group, they are not necessarily in Genesis, they are not happy with maybe the current composition, but they are outside the Genesis anyway. But we can have this discussion probably. So this is how what can happen for this agenda item. So we should just be ready and try to see how things will go. It's not just a discussion, and we have, for the council to decide if we need to amend the charter, to make changes, and so on. Okay. I didn't say anything, just some groups outside the Genesis. It's up to people to interpret that. Okay, Amma, please go ahead. Speaking, we cannot hear you.
Thanks, I'm speaking now. Can you hear me now? Hello. All right, great. Elsa can hear me. Phase two is a little tricky. The EPDP team's draft final report, does have a number of issues that have been identified as those that will be deferred to phase two. But the council needs to decide on what the scope of phase two is going to be. I don't think this was, in the original charter for the EPDP, phase two was basically about access. But now there's a whole bunch of stuff that the EPDP team has in its recommendations is recommending that the GNSO council to phase two, things that we couldn't settle or agree on in phase one, things that may require additional input, for example, from that ICANN has contracted for the purpose of the EPDP. So there's a bunch of stuff that isn't exactly what is in the charter, and this isn't supposed to be an EPDP, but this is kind of new, and now phase one is recommended a bunch of other things that weren't in the charter and now be addressed in phase two. So to be honest, I'm not exactly sure how the council should address this. The council could take a hard line and say, no, we've already scoped phase two to be just about access. I think that's extremely unlikely. Is my audio not getting through? Can anybody hear me? Okay. Or they could adopt, you know, or they could say yes, well, the EPDP team will continue to discuss the issue of access as well as other as well as the other recommendations that the EPDP team has, you know, has made in terms of what issues should be addressed in phase two. Or the GNSO council could decide, no, we want to broaden phase two to include a number of issues. So at this time, you know, we don't have to make a decision on this by this week's meeting. But it would be a good idea for, you know, for us to just keep our ears open and to try to get a feel for what other groups would like to see involved in phase two, whether it's limited to what's in the final report as well as the charter, or whether there are other issues that need to be addressed, and we should probably come up with a position of our own at some point during these discussions. But, you know, so I don't have a solid recommendation on this now, but I think we just need to be mindful and keep a close eye on what's happening with this. I'd be grateful to hear thoughts of ours on this as well. Thanks.
Thanks, Amber. Can you hear me? No?
Yep.
Okay, sorry. I don't know. Is Adobe Connect having some issues? So, yeah, thanks, Amber. Yeah, I think we don't have a clear position on this for now. So, I'm really for to hear what other groups they may bring here as issues, or what, maybe they want some changes. But yes, I mean, it's also a discussion here how we will deal with the report. So, if you want, I would ask you to review the motion itself for voting the report, because I think there is much about the phase two and the next steps. So we need also to be careful there. If we already vote, what can happen for phase two in terms of discussion? Maybe it can be different. But yeah, I think this is just an item for discussion, and probably we'll have more to talk on at Kobe meeting during the council session in Sunday. So we can try to listen to what other group they want to raise, and also prepare from our side if we have something that we want to advocate. Yes, Stephanie, please go ahead.
Thanks, Stephanie Perrin, for the record. And I'm a little concerned about phase two myself, because we haven't really figured out what it is, what it looks like. It strikes me that at some point, if, for instance, the way out of the impasse with the business constituency and the IPC winds up booting another three or four recommendations to phase two, I think we ought to be very concerned about that, because at some point we're not replacing the temp spec anymore. We are picking a couple of recommendations that can be put forward, but the temp spec in its entirety will still have to be reviewed in the next phase, because it's very hard to separate everything out. You know, as we know, there are purposes that affect other purposes. So I'm just kind of thinking out loud here that given the lack of clarity that we have on what phase two is going to look like, and the fact that we have a major constituency that's rather used to getting its own way objecting, we need to at least sort of brainstorm a bit about what's the worst that could happen here, what might happen, and what's our strategy for dealing with it. Because, as you've said, there's an awful lot going into phase two that, you know, materially impacts the legitimacy of phase one. And you know, maybe more will appear after the council meeting and it'll be clear, but at the moment I'm really cloudy on it. Thanks.
Thanks, Stephanie. Any further comment or question? Okay, I only see an old hand from Stephanie, but no further question or comment on this issue. So, I think we'll know more about the phase two and the next steps. I'm trying to see the motion for the previous agenda item and the specific language on phase two. It just says that we it will be we will ask the APDP team to focus on the work plan and so on. And work plan means suggesting a timeline and deadline and milestone here, based on what we have on the charter too. Okay, so I mean, if you see some comment that people are worried about the timeline, so that should be suggested in terms of in the work plan. Okay, if there is no further comment or question, we can move to the next agenda item. Okay, so the next agenda item is the council update. Status of the new GTLD subsequent procedure PDP working group. And this is coming because the co-chair of this working group asked to give an update to the council. That was for, he wanted to do that during the strategic planning session, but that was not possible because that was not really the aim of the meeting. And we scheduled this update for this council meeting. So usually the council leadership team, we ask the different working group leader to give update or if they have any problem or issues. So my understanding, and we can hear leverage that we have Elsa, who is also the council liaison to the working group, so she can give probably better update than me about what's going on there. Is that now the working group is continuing the review of all the public comment. I think that's for now. It's work track. I don't think they start for work track 5. It's still for the previous public comment. So they have 3 public comments. And so after the review, so they will have to probably to make amendments to the report. And depending, I think, of the level of consensus, they can decide either to keep the status quo or just to make new recommendations. So it's going in group, but I would ask those who are really involved there. I see Elsa as the council liaison and Bruna, they probably know much better than me. Okay. Okay, so who wants to speak? Elsa, do you want to give some update about the SAPRU, or I mean, do you have an idea what we will get as a presentation for the council?
Hi, Rafiq. Can you guys hear me? Okay. So I'm not sure what I heard from you in terms of an update because you cut off for a couple of minutes for me. But I think from what I've heard that you've covered almost everything. The new GTLD, subsequent procedure PDPWG leadership, met with the leadership of the GNSO Council recently, and they gave them updates about the timeline and the expected time of when the final report is going to be coming in and when the board is going to go through that final report. And it seems that by maximum April, they will have their work almost ready or almost done. Now they're going through the comments. So if anyone at NCSG is, I'm sure that there's a group of people who are already following the work. I've worked with Bruna, Robin, several others who are following the work of the WG. But if you'd like to know where our comment as NCSG is going, you can definitely follow some of the subgroup work, or at least follow the general WG calls so that you'd have a general idea of where our comments are going, because now they're sifting through the comments to make sure that they have everything taken into account. So that's basically my general update, but I'd be very happy to follow up with any particular questions. I have to say that my role as a liaison with that WG is supposedly neutral and objective, so I can't make any NCSG positions within that WG when I'm on a call with them, but I'd be more than happy to provide further information given that role, since I'm going to every single leadership call, and I'd be more than happy to help any way I can. So yeah, that's it for me. Thanks, Rafiq.
Thanks, Hussein. So we'll, I guess, know more what the co-chairs of the working group want to highlight. But it's likely about, I think, the timeline and when they can deliver. I think one question was that if this working group needed another, let's say, another public comment after they have their kind of, I'm not sure, interim report or final report, because in the previous public comment, they asked a lot of questions. So it's kind of different approach here. But yes, so we will hear from them, and we know that at least one of the co-chair is kind of really about asking about how the implementation, and if it should really start earlier, even before the board approval. So. Okay, I think that's it. So we will know probably during that meeting. So we can move to the, if there is no further question or comment, I guess we can move to the next agenda item. So waiting, seeing it on. The agenda, the last one is the, any other business. Well, there is the ICANN 64 planning, and I think, I'm not sure if the schedule is already online, so people can check here regarding the schedule and the session. But I think what is more critical in this any other business is the 7.2 and 7.3. 7.2 is kind of the, it's called lesson learned from the Council Public Comment regarding the ICANN budget and the 5-year operating plan and strategic plan for fiscal years to 2021-2025. So the, here what drives it is that we have the SCBO, the Standing Committee for Budget and Operating Plan, that worked on, as tasked by the Council, working on two public comments. But when those those draft comments came to the Council, there were some objection and request to make substantial change. So here we need kind of really to have a discussion in the way how we can improve things and avoid such situation from happening in the future. I think when we get the drafting team to work on comment, and with already some members from council and sharing at early stage, we should avoid that objection or substantive change happen in the last minute. Okay. I see that Stephanie is already in the queue. Yes, Stephanie, please go ahead.
Thanks. Sorry, it's Stephanie again. I'm back at planning for COBE, so I'm sorry if I'm breaking your flow here, Rafiq, but today is the deadline for submitting our questions to the board. And we went out on the NCSG list, and the silence has been deafening. So please, somebody give me some ideas about what our topics we'd like to discuss with the board are for COBE. I have to get it in sometime today. And Rafiq, how are you supposed to pronounce it?
Thanks, Stephanie. It's COBE, not COBE. COBE. It's like in French. Thanks, Stephanie, for the reminder. The deadline is today, and I think it's important to respond to things. The board is expecting answers or several suggestions. So personally, I'm not sure if this is really how we should organize our meetings with the board, but the current board and the current chair, it's kind of the approach is to plan and prepare everything beforehand to avoid any surprise. So it's kind of maybe sometimes I think it's kind of more scripted interaction. So okay. So Stephanie, maybe it's worth it if you can resend the email just so people catch the question and the topic. And I do believe they are quite critical, since some of them talk about the governance, evolution of the governance in ICANN and so on, and the strategic planning that we already commented on, but still important to participate in this discussion. Okay, any further comment or question here? I see none. Okay, so I guess we can move to the usual. We have still 30 minutes left. Mayim, please go back to the main agenda. Okay, so here we try just to, and we'll go through first the public comment status, just a reminder what we have as coming. So we have one public comment that we need to cover, it's under review, which is opening the standards for the specific review, and thanks again to Ioana for drafting that one. So the deadline for that one is the 20th of February, so this week. I think it's quite important. We missed the opportunity to comment on the first draft. It was last year, I think for this year we have the chance to give our input, and it's also for those interested that also the council drafted here, and maybe for information the whole drafting team was composed of NCAG councillors. I think that's quite I think what we are missing is the deadline is today, unfortunately, and we didn't have any draft. The amendment to the IANA naming function contract. I think maybe it's quite specific, but we try usually to cover all comments. The other one is the first consultation on the two-year planning process. While the deadline here is saying the 20th February, I think there is expectation that it will be extended, and we should cover this one. I think it's to some extent related to strategic planning and the budget, but it's different because here it's more the request or the expectation from the SO to do more planning beforehand, or PDPs they want to initiate and so on, in the way to get the resources and budget when the budget process starts. So it's it's a discussion paper with some questions, not so many, but I think we should respond to that. So please tell me if you want to volunteer for this one. It's the 2 year. Two-year planning process, the first consultation. So there will be two rounds of consultation and so on. Yes, dear.
Uh,
Stephanie Perrin for the record. And once again, Rafiq, I'm behind you. I'm still back on the specific reviews. I put some comments in there, and there is one particular issue that I really think we should discuss and debate. I didn't add things, but I am concerned, and I've expressed this before, that we just finished the RDS review, and I was, of course, the only civil society person on that team, totally outnumbered by law enforcement and supported by ALAC. So, you know, it felt like about 8 law enforcement. You know, one is in a very difficult situation. Do you put a protest in over every single recommendation? The structure of these reviews and the budget is of concern. And I think we're up to the deadline, I guess, but it would be good to understand a little more what goes into this review process. If we are going to face budget cuts next year, and that was certainly the hint that we're getting from Yoram, I wonder about these review processes, how much of the budget they're going to grab. Thanks.
Thanks, Stephanie. So I'm trying to recall what's the paper is outlining it exactly. So it's really about how the new teams will operate. So that's why the operating standard maybe, or it should be probably operating procedure, and covering a lot of different area like about the scoping and so on. The only part I think related to there are some about the administration, what is expected. But for resources, there is, for example, about the face-to-face meeting and so on. So there are some area there. I understand that our comment is not covering all the part or section of the operating standard. I can share what we did as a comment for the council, because we highlighted some issues there, different from what we have in NCIG comment, if it's helpful. But yeah, I'm not sure it's really related to the budget per se, but I guess it's still important to be sure that resourcing and budgeting are guaranteed for those efforts, because we heard before from like the board and Yoram like about that. Code in code, how to say, code effectiveness. This, I am always worried when this is kind of mentioned, because while the word is, how to say, it has a loading and it's loaded word, it's not that we should be careful with it. So. Yes, Stephanie, you wanted to add something?
Yes. Well, specifically, we have put in there quite a bit about how we have to ensure that if this is going to be equitable, that there's enough resources in the event there are face-to-face meetings, that there's enough resources to cover us, which I guess is fair, but it is a budget booster. Having been on the RDS, we had 4 face-to-face meetings in Brussels that, in my view, were not necessary and cost a fair bit of money. So the thing that I was questioning from a policy perspective is the removal of disruptive members of the review teams. And I understand that this is to respond to a particular situation in one of the teams that we didn't have procedures for. We were the person who made the initial stab at this, and kudos to her for doing it, because it's a great comment. But we were debating in this comment between whether for removal it should be an ICANN staff person that manages the removal process, in other words, the complaints from members to remove the people, or who it should be. I think we should have a pretty fulsome discussion about that, because levels of trust of staff in terms of managing such a process vary across the constituencies and across the various experiences that we've had. I'm sure there have been groups that would like to have had me removed because of my strident pain in the rear remarks on privacy all the time. So I think it's something that's really quite a difficult issue, and maybe we want to focus on it a bit. Thanks.
Thanks, Tiffany. Yeah, I think that part of the comment should be amended. You know, it just come from a volunteer, but it doesn't mean that we cannot change. So it's kind of straw person document, and it's open to any amendments and edits. Yeah, I don't think the staff should be in any way involved in the removal and this process enough sensitive and critical. So, we need to make changes. So it's better to, if there is any specific wording or suggestion here, that will be really helpful. So, okay, seeing nobody in the queue, and ask everyone to review the comment again. So we have 2 days left for review and submission. So please do so. I can share the link. Just a few seconds, please. Meantime, the ICANN strategic plan for fiscal year, even if Enforte to submit, the deadline was extended after I submitted on time. But at least I think we get our comment. We spent enough time, I think, on reviewing it, and we had some discussion in the document. I hope that we have much more discussion there, because it's quite critical intention, and the goals for the next 5 years. But we still have to keep this discussion, and I think there is a session in Kobe meeting in Monday about the strategic planning, so that everyone should attend. I don't think there is any parallel session at that time, so we have to be there and to follow closely. The last public comment is the initial report on the customer standing committee effectiveness, and what I heard from the drafting team, they don't think there is any concerns on that initial report. We have quite short draft that we can share and get this, review it and approve it pretty quickly. So that's it for all the public comment. Any question or comment on this? And please let me know if you want to join, for those who are still under the work. If you want to join, please let me know and I can add you to the other volunteers. Okay, I think that is done. Public comment. You can move to any update, policy update. I think we covered already EPDP, subrule, subsingles procedure. What is maybe probably left is the RPM. So if someone wants to give a quick update on what's going there or anything that we should be aware on, please do so. Yes, Martin, please.
Hello, can you hear me? I can see in two different subgroups, so the full working group is not live, and each subgroup is taking care of the specific task. We are reviewing the data these years in the working group, specifically on two topics. One of them is the sunrise claims, the sunrise periods, and the other trademark claims notices. So the idea is we can produce a final report in the subgroup of what the data tell us about processes. What problems do we find? What solutions can we propose so that the full working group can start debating on a final report to finish phase one? This complements the ERF phase that we finished a few months ago. I'm one of the co-chairs of the subgroup. I would say that's the policy part. The other thing that you may hear going around is that we are having an issue with one of the members of the RPM, which is filing appealings and has threatened to sue some of the coaches. This is a very messy drama thing, but the main thing I think to understand from that is that we are looking at something that hasn't been used before properly, which is an appealing process inside the PEP, where a member can ask for an official direct moment to talk with leadership when they don't agree with something that leadership is doing. So it's not technically, they're not actually challenging a decision, but rather forcing a moment to have a direct conversation. That's one thing, you know, what is this appeal? What are we going to ask for this appeal to be formal? What are the consequences of the appeal? These are all things that are going to be sort of like precedents of what does it mean to do an appeal. And the other part is the liability part of the coaches and working group members, since this same member also started almost a legal procedure against another working group member. One of the questions around RPMs right now is also like an experiment. What is going to happen? What does liability mean to working group members? And this is going back to the council. And maybe you're going to hear RPMs associated with this, and that's why I think it's useful to talk about it in this section. I'm open to anyone that wants more details on it or wants to discuss more things on it. I'm reading the chat. It says, Amar, Martin, are there any contentious issues on the Thermal King Horse RPM, Sunrise Games, that are interest to us? I need to catch up the topic. Yes. We have several of them. Since I'm a culture of one, I try not to be subjective about this, but trying to put myself in the NCSG hat for 1 second. I would definitely say that some of the issues we are worrying about the Trademark Clearing House is, for instance, the scope of the trademarks they are registering the database. For instance, they are registering things that are not trademarks. So if you go, for instance, with the geographic name, denomination, which means if you want to buy bubbling white wine, champagne from France, the region, and someone has a champagne, actually, factory, could go to the Deloitte and say, hey, I have a champagne trademark, and they will sort of accept that. So that's not a trademark, and they are accepting it, and the whole process of a trademark thing has been altered because of it. And same with design marks, which are not denominative marks. It's not a word. So if, for instance, I have, as a trademark, I have a drawing that says Martin, but I don't have the word Martin as a trademark, and I go to the trademark and have a lot will say, okay, if I can read Martin from this drawing, therefore protect Martin in the DNS. And that's not real. I mean, you're giving a protection right to someone that doesn't have it in reality, because trademark makes a difference between drawings and words. You can have both, but you cannot have them also separately. So there are several of these issues. And again, I don't want to take too much of the time because it's a very long list of a very niche topic. But if Amar, you want to have some more deals, we can have a call with some of the other NCSG members that are involved in the RPM, and we can all, you know, have some catch-up and throw ideas. It's a very small team we have there, so we welcome anyone that wants to hear us or just start to participate. Is there anything else someone wants to ask or chat about?
Okay, thanks, Martin. I see Stephanie in the queue. Stephanie, please go ahead.
Sorry, take all hands.
I see Stephanie has her hand up.
Yeah, she says it's all hands, so no question. Thanks, Martin. Unless you want to add something. Okay. Okay, thanks. Thanks, Martin. Thanks for the update and the explanation.
No, I don't want to say more of your time.
I think that's it for working group. Okay. I think that's it for working group. For reviews, yeah, we have, I think, the SSR, the ACRT, they should start soon, or they have already started. I heard they already selected the co-chairs for that ACRT. I'm not sure who was appointed, other than it was Cheryl as one of the co-chairs. She announced that in the last council meeting. The other one, I think, is the RBS review team, and they have a feeling Stephanie wants to say something about that.
Stephanie Perrin again. This is just under any other business if we're there. Are we there yet? Yes? No? I just wanted to bring up the issue. Okay.
What you wanted to ask, go ahead.
Go ahead? Okay. I just wanted to discuss a little bit the issue of the finance committee, because we had a bit of a meltdown over the last couple of weeks in that the finance committee gave Mariam three ABRs to post that none of the rest of us had seen, including the other member of the finance committee. That would be me. There was no discussion on the finance committee list. And so I asked that they be taken down. They're still up, even though the planning group said that they would take them down a week ago. And I think this was very difficult on a number of fronts, because it's a lack of transparency, and we've had quite a bit of discussion on the list about things like who's going to open a bank account and where, and who's going to do this. Now, we have a meeting of the Finance Committee scheduled in Kobe, and I think that members need to focus on what the Finance Committee is, what's in the charter, and what we really want and need in terms of a finance committee, because I think that the finance committee themselves appear to be a little confused about what their role is. The charter has carved out a huge role for them, but oddly enough, that charter is now 6 or 7 years old, and we have never really had an active finance committee, and the procedures are in a draft stage and, in my view, require significant work. There are only three members, one from the NCUC, one from the NPOC, and one from the seated NCSG chair. That's a pretty small committee to have the kind of power that actually is resident within the finance committee. So I think we need to have a look at this and think about what we need nowadays in terms of a finance committee. And I note that NCUC has a call for reps out. This is an appointed position, not an elected position. So I don't know about you guys, but I'm never as comfortable giving power to people who are appointed than I am to people who are elected. And that's not just because I happen to be elected and was for the 4 years I sat on council, but it does seem to me that we hold our counselors to a higher standard than we do the members of the finance committee. And that's not a reflection on current membership. That's just a reflection on the charter and how it's organized. So I'm just trying to encourage everybody to have a look at this and show up at the meeting of the finance committee in Kobe, so that we can have a serious think about what we need here. Thanks.
Hey, Stephanie, thanks. So I guess we finish it with the policy update, and we already move it to the next agenda item. So you wanted to talk about Finance Committee, and I see Bruna is in the queue.
Being the identity chair, and also based on the fact that the FC member who apparently submitted the ABR was the NCC representative at the committee, I was just like meaning to highlight the need. Like, so if you're like for these volunteers at the finance committee, and to remind you guys as well that both constituencies are allowed to nominate or appoint another like member other than the representative. We're also allowed to appoint like an observer member to the FC. So if you're this person and if you don't have like the available time for dedicating properly to being the member of the FC who will take part in the decisions, but if you want to join as the observer, it's also very much welcome, the application, and we really need the work from you guys right now. I mean, as Stephanie said, it's only, the FC as it is only like forcing to have like 3 members, one from each constituency and the chair of NCSG. So, and they do need some help in focusing in their activities and maybe better defining and fine-tuning what they're supposed to do and how they should be working together with the constituencies, apart from being a body on their own, which is in my interpretation is what they have been doing so far. So, I mean, all of your guys' help is very much welcome in this situation. So I just wanted to add that.
Thanks, Bruna. Tiffany, is it an older new hand? Okay. Other than this topic, is there anything you want to raise? Because we just have 4 minutes left. We don't have something substantive or substantial or something you want to discuss or raise, I guess we can adjourn the call. So giving your time to speak up, as this will be probably our last call before Kobe meeting, which will be it's quite just less than 3 weeks away, pretty soon. And hope you get all, I mean, for those attending, you got your visa and everything is set for your travel. Okay, other than that, I guess we can adjourn the call for today. So before that, I want to thank everyone for joining and attending. Since we have an important vote, we will hopefully we try to keep you updated in the list, and we'll coordinate just to be sure to not mess up during that council meeting if we have vote or if there is deferral to the next meeting. Just to respond quickly, I don't think there is any there is no clash because it's after the council meeting, the finance meeting. Okay, other than that, talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone, for attending the call. The meeting is now adjourned. Bye-bye.